All right, so here's the scene. You've got a longtime Vermont politician who's struck a chord calling for radical economic reorganization of the U.S. economy, deep reduction in military spending, and the bolstering of subsidy programs for the poor. I mean, is this a flashback to 2004?
And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House! Yeah!
That's Howard Dean, of course, his peak moment in American politics during the 2004 campaign. He placed third in the Iowa caucuses and, as you can hear, got a little carried away. Barely 2 weeks ago, though, it was another longtime Vermont politician running for president, Senator Bernie Sanders, in a packed gymnasium in Minneapolis, only it was his supporters who got carried away, something they've been doing everywhere he stops on the campaign trail.
Let me just tell you about the kind of week that we've had, which is pretty crazy. We started off like formally kicking off the campaign in my hometown of Burlington, Vermont, and we had over 5,000 people coming out. Then we went to New Hampshire, standing room only, an event after event after event. Last couple of days, we've been in Iowa, just an extraordinary response. And look at what we're doing here today in Minneapolis.
I'm joined now by Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. So, Todd, can Bernie Sanders sustain this? Does he have the kind of team in place that can grow this enthusiasm through the whole campaign?
Yeah, Bernie Sanders, by the way, let me say, John, the I have a scream speech at the top. Fantastic. That's what Howard Dean calls it to this day himself. He calls it the I have a scream speech.
I think we need to temper all this enthusiasm with that, Howard Dean thing. It was for you. It was for your benefit.
Look, Bernie Sanders himself acknowledges that he's going to be outraised and outspent in this race. Can he sustain the enthusiasm? Who knows? But when you compare his polling, despite the big crowds coming out to his events, he's still way behind the front runner, Hillary Clinton, 50 points behind if you want to talk about a poll that's 6.5 months before primary day at this point, John. But the crowds are larger than anyone expected. Bernie Sanders told a group of reporters here in Washington at the beginning of the week, much larger than even he expected. And then the analysis is going on why people are so excited about him.
Two scenarios here. Number one, Bernie Sanders is in the race to make it clear that Hillary Clinton actually had an opponent. So this is totally an advantage for Hillary Clinton. Scenario number two, Bernie Sanders is in the race because on the left there is a hunger for radical change that will reach a tipping point with weariness over the Clinton name, kind of like weariness over the Bush name, and Sanders will be propelled forward, overtaking Hillary Clinton. Which scenario do you think is more likely?
Probably neither, not overtaking, but you hit on a key point here, which is Sanders' candidacy that speaks to a part of the left that is fundamentally uncomfortable with the record and candidacy, the centrist record of Hillary Rodham Clinton, especially post-2008 recession, John. Sanders speaks directly to issues of income equality. He's against the free trade agreements, corporate power and hegemony. Hillary Clinton, by contrast, supported the Trans-Pacific Partnership when she was Secretary of State. Okay, she worked for Barack Obama, but she did support it. Donations to the Clinton Foundation, all these things form a narrative that for a lot of people on the left brand Hillary Clinton as a centrist and not a representative of the liberal left. It's interesting, if you want to talk about polls again, and I'm reluctant to do so, that as Bernie Sanders' support has grown in these early polls, and it has, around 15%, Hillary's hasn't eroded at all. He's not taking her support. He's consolidating support on the left, and that's a different thing than undermining Hillary Clinton.
Few seconds. Can he handle the, you know, the Klieg lights here? I mean, he's already been asked if he's an Israeli citizen by Diane Rehm.
He has been. Bernie Sanders doesn't seem to shy away from the attention. He's given a few speeches on the Senate floor in his day. He's fine in front of the lights.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent on the surge in the Bernie Sanders campaign. Bernie Sanders running for president. He's a self-declared, and this is our first mention of this, socialist. Todd, thanks so much.
You got it.
Joining me now with his own assessment of Senator Sanders, well over 15 minutes of fame, is John Franco, a practicing attorney in Burlington, Vermont. He's worked with and is a friend of Senator Bernie Sanders. John Franco, I gather you're pretty enthusiastic and thrilled with the reception that Sanders has received so far.
Yes, but not entirely surprised, frankly.
Because?
Bernie's been doing this for 45 years. Bernie has surprised people for decades. And the kind of reception he's been getting nationally has not surprised me at all. I would have been more surprised if he bombed. And he certainly hasn't been bombing, at least not so far.
All right. Well, worrying about bombing may explain why he couldn't come on our program today. So you're in the hot seat, John Franco. All right. I'm going to ask you all the questions I would have asked him. OK. And someone who's all of a sudden having this kind of momentum has to worry about friends, right? The John Francos who can say things that might embarrass the candidate, right?
You have no idea the number of calls I've received from enterprising reporters trying to find out everything. It's like everything that's happened in Burlington politics in the last 35 years is now being relitigated. Somebody asked me a couple of days ago, what's this like? And I said, it's like an Irish wake, except that rather than happening on one day, it's going on week after week after week about what Bernie did, what his administration was like, what he did in Congress, what his policies have been. So it's actually been kind of fun, to be honest with you.
All right, Franco. So you're in the hot seat. Here we go. Number one, question number one. Bernie Sanders is a flake like Ron Paul. He's going to attract a cult following and be gone by the time we get to the convention.
Wrong.
Because?
That's just not been his record, his experience. I remember when he was elected mayor of Burlington in 1981, and the real championship round, if you will, was when he was up for re-election in 1983. And he won decisively. And I remember the speech. Bernie said, they keep calling us a fluke. Well, now it's been fluke after fluke after fluke when he's won. That's not going to be the outcome for him.
Will Americans and will the Congress, and Barack Obama has had huge problems with the Congress, be able to enact any parts of his program, the kinds of rethinking of capitalism that comes in his speeches?
Not based on Bernie alone. I mean, one of the reasons he's running is to have a conversation about where we are as a society, what kind of society have we constructed, particularly in the last 30 or 40 years since Ronald Reagan in 1981. And the conversation the two of you had before I came on the line about the left being dissatisfied, it isn't the left that's dissatisfied. It's Center America that's dissatisfied. These are the people that are turning out in Iowa and in Minnesota. These are the people that turn out for Bernie regularly in Vermont. And let me give you an example of that. A friend of mine who works for Bernie was talking to me last winter about a town meeting that he had in a VFW hall in White River Junction, Vermont, that was standing room only. Now, VFW patrons are generally pretty conservative, and they're white working-class men by and large. How is it that a socialist is able to attract a huge overflow crowd of white working-class men to a town meeting on a Saturday afternoon in Vermont? It's because Bernie has a message that very much resonates to the center.
All right. So he's got a little charisma. Here's the deal. Here's what's going to happen. He attracts the center. He gets some poll numbers. He hires some conservative Washington K Street campaign manager and suddenly turns into Bill Clinton and starts talking about ending welfare as we know it.
Bernie doing that?
Yep.
Are you in one of those states that has legalized pot?
Nice, Franco. That was good. You didn't even pause when you said that. So Bernie is not going to sell out to the center like candidates typically do after the primaries and try to attract a general kind of leadership is what we need audience.
Bernie's message has been remarkably consistent for 40 years. It's resonating now because of what has been created in the last 30 years economically. And the average American sees that everything from Citizens United and how the election campaigns are financed to income and wealth inequality.
All right.
To global warming.
So, John, call Bernie and tell him to be on the program, will you, please?
Sure.
John Franco is a practicing attorney in Burlington, Vermont. He's worked with and is a friend of Senator Bernie Sanders. He joined us from our friends at Vermont Public Radio.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.